Hello. Welcome back. We're going to continue on our examination of the text of Matthew chapter... You know, I was wrong. Yesterday I said 19. It's actually 6. Verses 1 through... Oh, no. Shoot. Or should I say shit? I was wrong about being wrong. It's chapter 19, indeed, verses 16 through 24. So let's just dive into that mess I created. The world is chaos. Reality is a very difficult thing to anchor yourself in. We're always thrashing about looking for solid ground. And that is why the hero is on a circuit through various trials, various tribulations, and without the magical aid of the helper along the way, this heroic figure would be, I don't know what you would say, something worse than lost. There is a sense of being lost in continuity, of being lost in normalcy, of being lost precisely where you are. It's a terrible thing. This hidden chaos in order, this masked disorder in the field, waiting, hiding, never ready to show its face. It is the sleeping invisible dragon of our lives. And to become a hero, to break out of all the biases and the chains of preconception laid on your eyes from birth to now, you've got to take the cloak off that dragon and face it. And that dragon is just a mythological symbol for what you fear most. Spiders, bats, snakes, rejection, envy, not measuring up. These are the deceitful, invisible dragons of our lives. And one duty of religion is to be a magical helper in our circuit, on our journey. And in particular, Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, in having a conversation with the rich young man, has interposed himself as the magical helper in this rich young man's journey to open his eyes to the hidden invisible dragon of his life. All right, that's the point of this conversation. So let's swim back into the text, all right? Jesus told him, these are the particular commandments you should follow to have what's called eternal life, ending with, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And again, like yesterday, we said he ends on thyself because the man's true problem is he hates himself. He hates what he is. He doesn't see the potential waiting to break free. And because of that hateful blindness, the young man said in response, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Fear wears the mask of arrogance. It always does. Jesus, the magical helper, the God figure before humanity, said, if thou will be perfect. In other words, all right, fine. You want to play that game? You want to deny the existence of the dragon? Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. It's an ironic use of the noun poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then Jesus expects him to make the circle back. And come and follow me. Hold the phone. What could this rich young man have asked for that was more valuable than what Jesus was willing to give? Because he ends his command, his new layer of commandments. Forget all the quotations from the Old Testament. And focus now on what Jesus just invented. Leave me for the moment. Disabuse yourself of all that weighs you down, your personal possessions, your material gains, all the things that hide the dragon of the thing you fear facing most. Leave it all behind, and then return to me and follow. And I will make you what you are. In other words, Jesus is offering him a trade. Give up all the actuality in return for the potential of your life. Take away all the markers, the traditional markers of identity, in exchange for the thing you were built and made and born to do, the work of your life. Because remember, it is a marvelous statistic that all the cells that could not have come together came together in the party of biology to make you the way you are today. And Jesus knew this. So he told him, give up all to actualize yourself, finally. How does the rich young man respond to this truth? When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I want to stop you right there. Often the traditional reading of this text is he went away sorrowful because he wasn't able to do it. He was going to go back and sit in his fat chair and look out his big window at the yard he had paid exorbitant funds for. He was going to feel the light of the same sun that he practically had a stake in and go about his luxuriant life sucking the oil that he had discovered long ago from a little golden straw. But no, I argue that this text is the exact opposite. He went away sorrowful because he knew he was going to do it. He was going to sell that house with its window and the view. He was going to give up his stake in the sun. He was going to give up everything that gave him a name in society. That's why it says he had great possessions. He was giving up short-term greatness for long-term legacy. That long-term legacy is simply modern code for what Jesus called eternal life. You want something to soak in today? Imagine this. The Nike symbol means more to more people than many people's lives ever did. God, it gives me chills just thinking about it. It's an incredibly cold statement, and it's sad, but it's the truth. A simple symbol that anyone can draw on a piece on a napkin is able to infuse textiles with so much significance that people drop everything, give up their money, and impersonate athletes across the world, across national borders, across languages. This symbol speaks and continues to speak. Whereas there are billions of people, and there have been hundreds of millions of people throughout history, very few of whom any of us will ever know. The power of symbol and myth and potential meaning always outscales and outweighs actual meaning. So that's why when the man came up to Jesus and asked, how can I be perfect? Jesus went straight to eternal life, to legacy, to that which lives beyond the grave, and said, you have to tap into potential. You have to bury your coins in potential. Only that will compound your future. Everything else is simply consuming off the exhaust from the past. All right. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, because by now the rich young man had left, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is just the environment of eternal life. It's all the things, the ideals, the things you wish were brought into your immediate consciousness. It's your potential actualized. It's the ideal state. It's what Nike has achieved in time and space. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is such a narrow road. It is such a point. It is so simple, though, right in front of your eyes. It is your eyes. It is your ability as a person to articulate yourself. That's the whole game. Self-expression, man, begins with self-articulating. And that begins with the realization that it's all about giving up what's cool and fashionable now to achieve something great out of the depths of your soul. All right, so that's the end of verses 16 through 24. Enjoy your day. Take care. Tomorrow's Friday. So what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm actually going to talk about the death of Jesus on the cross, and that phrase he used, it is finished, it is done. It's a very significant phrase. We'll explore it in and out tomorrow.